Warning, warning, warning. This content may be sensitive to some. If you feel the need to leave, it is completely understandable. Content may contain examples of death, suicide, sexual content, and other shit we don't know what we're going to get into. This is not to offend anyone or upset anyone on purpose. This isn't your typical Deputy Dane. So listen at your own risk, sit back, and enjoy. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Deputy Dane Morning Show. I appreciate all y'all for being here. We got some stuff to get into. I really don't know what we're going to get into, but we'll get into something. Sit back. Oh, yep. There's the sirens. I think we're all going to be detained. Sit back and enjoy the show. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Deputy Dane Morning Show. I appreciate everybody. I don't know why I'm echoing. Hold on. Let me try something. Hello. Okay, there we go. Now I'm done. Okay. That being said, okay. It's been a crazy little couple weeks here. Baby girl had some ear infection problems, and then along with her ear infection problems came, she wouldn't drink, and that was stressing us out, knowing that she can get dehydrated pretty quick. So we kind of had to watch her closely. Feeding her through like a little syringe of just giving her fluids. It's pretty crazy. Then she started finally out of nowhere, just started taking a bottle, which, man, that was a huge, huge pick-me-up for Mama and I that took a lot out of us with her not eating, not drinking. Well, she would eat. The weird thing is she would eat. She would eat everything you put in front of her, but she wouldn't drink. So we had to take a syringe, put a syringe in there, and just slowly give her Pedialyte and water and all that. And then out of nowhere, she just started drinking again. And then we went to the doctor, and they did like a little ear pressure test to see if there's fluid behind the ears. Still fluid. So hopefully it dries up, and she kind of gets rid of that drainage, and we'll hopefully get back to normal. Man. Okay. So then, yeah. So now she's finally drinking. Anxiety's going down, which really, I was talking with the dispatcher, and we were kind of, nowadays it seems like everything they call anxiety, if you have stress, which people, we're humans, we're animals, deers don't frolic through the woods happy 24/7, they're stressed out, there's a hunter, they're stressed out, there's a bobcat, there's something going to get them, a coyote, wolf, whatever it is. But nowadays we classify any kind of stress, which stress is normal for us, as anxiety. And now all this, I've had anxiety and this, blah, blah, blah. Some people do, but there's a lot of it that I think that's just thrown out there too much just so we can get a diagnosis. Speaking of diagnosis, we've had a lot going on with little dude. I try to be 100% honest with everybody. And, yeah, so there's been a lot of people wondering if he's got autism or if he's on the spectrum or on all this stuff because he has certain quirks. But if you think about it, we really all have quirks. And they seem to put everybody on a spectrum if you get checked out. But either way, his school thought there was stuff going on. Well, a couple weeks later, now he's the top of the class. So it's like, I think we just need to give these kids time to grow. Give them time to be themselves and figure out who they are. We're too quick to say, oh, they have this, they have that, and then they have to live the stigma of being classified as that. They thought little dude was, okay, so he wouldn't stand on a dot at school, and he wouldn't get in a line, and we kind of talked about the marching and stuff. Well, he wouldn't stand on these certain dots, and then that would kind of trigger him where he'd get pissed off, and then he'd start screaming. But this is like day three. You know, he's been... Kaylee and I have been lucky enough that we were able to work our schedules around where he hadn't been in daycare, which we're lucky enough because that saves us money, but we realized it kind of socially held him back. His surgery that he had also held him back. After the surgery, he's been just developing so fast compared to what he was before. But if you think about it, you know, his pee hole was too small, so he wasn't able to pee right, and then he could never completely empty his bladder, is what the doctors told us. So the whole time he always felt like he had to pee. So I'm telling you right now, if I had to pee all the time, it'd be like a constant UTI where you feel like, oh shit, I got to pee. You're not going to think of other things. Like, no, I'm not going to say dad and mama, son of a bitch. I can't pee. I got to pee. I got to pee all the time. I feel like I got to pee. No, I'm not going to say dad, shut up. I got to pee. Everything's gotten so much better though. He's gotten better with going potty. Now he goes potty on the big boy potty. Potty training is getting better. Everything's getting better. So back to the school thing, they were very quick to say, oh, he doesn't like to get on the line. This is day three. You know, he's been spoiled pretty much with mama and I, and we've been holding him and sheltering him for the most part. Sadly, we are sheltered. He is sheltered. And they were quick to say, well, I feel that he might have some form of autism because of it and all this stuff. And then the teachers would give him one-on-one attention, and the one-on-one attention he would get. The kid's smart. He's very manipulative. He wants one-on-one attention. He's going to get one-on-one attention. And he's learned if he throws his little fits and acts a fool, he's going to get it. And that's another reason I really don't want this diagnosis. I don't want to go take him just to get diagnosed so that way he can use it as a crutch, or people use it as a crutch. Even if he is on the spectrum, I want him to be treated as anybody else, so that way he doesn't have the stigma of having to be held to a different standard. But then a couple weeks later, we get told, actually, he was the top of the class. He was doing things that a class above him couldn't even do. And I'm like, see, if we just give these kids a chance and not take them just to go get a diagnosis, just because, to be honest, schools make money on diagnosis. These schools get extra funding for how many kids are an IEP or whatever it's called. And kids are being told they have ODD, where they don't like to hear no. And then they get put in this program and the school makes money off of it. And then these kids pretty much run all over the teachers and they can walk out of class whenever they want. Just mind blowing stuff to me. And I feel that we're just, we're too quick to put just labels out there. I guarantee if I go get diagnosed, I'm going to be on the spectrum. We all have something. If you think about it, we all have something. We have something that's just not normal from other people, you know? And then they also, he didn't like to finger paint. And that was another thing they were saying. I hate finger painting. So like when they were telling me, well, he doesn't like to get his hands in the finger paint. I'm like, I don't like getting my hands in the finger paint. I don't. In like old style, like fingerprints and stuff with ink, I hate it. The ink gets everywhere and then it takes forever to wash off. I hate it. I hate it. I don't like the feel of the paint, the ink. I don't like just, I don't like it. So I'm sure I have something too. Who knows? We all have something. No one's perfect. We all have our own little quirks and this and that, but it just kind of got me thinking. But I figure I give everybody, you know, updates on my family. Baby girl, she's almost walking. Her birthday is just around the corner. We're doing Miss Rachel. She loves Miss Rachel. It's amazing. This girl would be just screaming her ears out, and then, or our ears out, really. And then she hears Miss Rachel's voice on the TV, and she immediately looks at us, gives us the most shit-eating grin, and just like the girl from The Grudge. I'm like, what in the hell is wrong with, see, she's got something too. Shit, we all got something, I'm telling you. But I just thought it was kind of funny though, just to see how Miss Rachel can fix everything. That's like baby crack. If you've never watched Miss Rachel, kudos to you. But I'm telling you right now, that lady has saved me plenty of headaches by just her being her, saying mama, say mama, da da. But again, as some people know, I've talked about, I can't watch her without turning it into like sexual innuendos and stuff. She'll be like, put it in, put it in, put it in, yay! And I can't help but just go, oh my God, Miss Rachel, you a freak, girl? But that's pretty much where we're at with our home life with the babies and everything else. Mama got injured this week, so that kind of put a dampener on things. She's doing all right. Just going to take a long time of just healing, slowing down and healing. But it is what it is, guys. It is what it is. In this profession, you never know. In her profession, you never know. I mean, if you think about it, like firemen carry bodies and stuff, and she's moving bodies all the time. And like firemen have to carry bodies, trying to help them. And a lot of the time, those people half the time are still alive, so they can kind of help you a little bit. These are just, you've heard the term dead weight. Well, there's not much more dead weight than a dead person. So That's legit dead weight. But yeah, she got injured the other day. So hopefully for my sake, a speedy recovery, because these kids are going to, they're going to get me. They're going to get me. Nobody gets out alive. Can't do it. But speaking of anxiety, we've been talking about anxiety and stuff. I've been into this, watching these cave divers. Oh, spelunkers or whatever they're called. I don't know why I watch things that just give me intense, intense anxiety. Like, I just watch these. I'm like, oh, no, God, no. Also, I'm a big dude, so I'm sure as hell not going to go in any of these little crevices they're going. But even when I was smaller, I was like, nah, dude, I'm good. Mm-mm. We're like, okay, so we got to go in this crevice. There's water here, and we've got to lay on our stomach, turn our head sideways. You have to take your backpack off and drag it behind you just so that I'm getting nervous thinking about this. Drag the backpack behind you so you don't get stuck. Nah, dog, I'm good with that. Like, you guys go ahead. I'll stay up here and I'll talk to you through the walkie-talkie. But if something happens, I sure as hell ain't coming for you. Shouldn't have done it. I'll tell your family your last words or something. If you tell my family I love them, you got it, dude. Not as much as you love being in crevices. I mean, I love crevices too, but that's a little too much right there, son. But I don't know why. I've watched those videos and just, oh, if you've never watched them, and you, it doesn't make you, if it does not make you just like, then you might be on the fucking spectrum for all I know. That's some crazy shit right there. That are those people that like, climb the free climb buildings and stuff, and like I'm watching it through a TV screen and I'm still feel like I'm falling when they look down. I'm like, no, stop, don't, no, don't do that. And then they do like pull-ups and stuff on the outside. I'm like, God, human body is it, if you are not properly hydrated, if you don't have the proper amount of sugars and everything in your bloodstream and everything's working the way it should, you are one cramp away from just falling to your death. Mind-blowing to me. These dudes are like, I'm going to be like a real-life Spider-Man. I'm like, I'm good, dude. I'd rather get bit by a spider and pretend I'm Spider-Man than climb that shit with chalk and... No, I'm good. I mean, some of the dudes have it down, though. We're going to do this because we're going to raise awareness for something. I'm like, yeah, you are. And if you fall to your death, the awareness is going to be 10 times better. So whoever sponsored you knows what the fuck they're doing. I am going up here for Special Olympics. Cool, dude. Climb away. And if you don't make it, Special Olympics, I guarantee, is going to get a lot more viewership because people are like, oh, I guess I could look at Special Olympics. Oh, Bill, when he squatted and splat on the ground, I just knew I better check out what he was looking for. So if you sponsor those dudes, that's pretty legit, probably the best sponsoring you can do. It's sad, but it's true. We all love just dark, nasty, just, ugh. I don't get it. I just don't. So go ahead and move into the other thing so I don't get anxiety attacks or stress attacks. Or see, I'm talking about anxiety after already talking about anxiety being fake. I can't watch those videos. Like, I get anxiety. That's legit anxiety. Maybe it's stress. I don't know, but I don't like it. Can't do it. Mm-mm. Nay, nay. But I figure we can move to something different because that's kind of, So a lot of the time in my lives, I love it. I even get cops that call me a fake cop, that he's not real and his uniform isn't even real. He's wearing a t-shirt that's off Amazon, that vest. Oh my God, this guy's a cosplayer. I can't believe that you guys do this. He's going to get arrested. And then I have cops that are like, oh, you don't even have a real badge. And I show them my badge. They're like, well, I can get that on Amazon. You can't. We all can. Everything a police officer was or sheriff's deputy, whatever they're wearing, you can get. Anybody can buy. You can go to Gauls right now, Gauls.com. You can buy a patch. You can buy a badge. You can buy a uniform. You can buy everything you want to look like a cop. I wouldn't do it. You could get arrested for impersonating an officer. But, I mean, if you're wanting to make movies in your house or whatever kind of movies you're in, if someone's stuck in the damn dryer, you've got a police uniform to pull them out, I guess. But it kind of got me thinking. Where everyone watches NYPD Blue, Blue Bloods, all these shows, and they go, well, all cops wear polyester and they have to have this. I do not wear polyester. I do not at all. Our agency used to have polyester. A lot of sheriff deputies and sheriff's offices around the United States, they wear a different color. They're tan, they're brown, they're green. And that is really for representing, you know, because we're out in the dirt. We're not in the city. We're not in town. You are going to be going through stuff that people don't imagine. I mean, you're going to go through the woods. You're going to get thorns. You're going to do everything. Polyester costs a lot of money. And I've already told you. Well, I didn't tell you. We talked about it in my live. But pretty much we had to buy a lot of our own uniforms after the first uniforms are given to us. I can't tell you how many times I went through a barbed wire fence and I ripped the crotch out of it. And then I had to go, well, son of a gun. Or how many t-shirts that I have that I got barbed wire caught. And then there's holes in the t-shirt. It happens all the time. Because when we're in a manhunt, people go through the thickest stuff trying to get away from us because they think, well, they're not coming. Well, we're coming. We're going to go right through it. The only downside is now we have to make sure we're not going to get shot at by you at the same time going through thorns and got to watch out for snakes. But that's what we do. That's why we don't wear polyester suits like the city cops do. They have the little rape whistle. I don't have a rape whistle. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. A lot of your bigger cities, they have a little on their Class A's. They have this little whistle that goes over from their collar into their pocket, and they can blow it. And help me! We don't do that. That's old timey. I don't know why some agencies still have that. We have a radio. Those were used for like back in the day for Sir Robert Peel's bobbies in London. You'd blow the whistle when you had crime over here, and the cops that were on this other beat would run over to you. Legit run to you because they were walking the streets of London. But for some reason they kept them on the uniform. So now some cop agencies on their Class A's, they got this little rape whistle. I don't know what that's about, but whatever, dude. But it kind of made me think, well, let's go look at the history of the police uniform. We've already talked about sheriff's deputies and sheriff's agencies. They wear the brown, they wear the green, they wear the tan. Just depends where you're at. It's also camo, kind of, for when you're hunting for somebody in the woods. Not really completely, but at the same time, it kind of helps you blend in. But it also hides the dirt. And sheriff's agencies back in the day didn't even have a uniform. The only thing you got was a badge. And they gave you a badge, and they'd be like, I appoint you sheriff of this town. And you got this one dude going, I accept that sheriff thing. I think I'll deputize me old Bill over there. Bill's a town drunk over there, but he's always in town. So they're like, yep, let's go ahead and deputize him. Hold on one second. Ooh, those voices hurt my throat. That's old Bill. Hi, Bill. I'm his deputy. But I see all sorts of things. I'm sure you do, Bill. You've seen a lot of things. So they used to be just cowboys in just regular clothes. But you had a badge, and you put that badge on. And that's really what it was until, hell, I don't know. We'll see. Hold on. Let me look up the first sheriff's agency that wore uniform. Well, I can't find a definitive date on sheriff's deputies, but sheriff's deputies for the longest time wore like their plain clothes. The only thing that identified them differently was their badge. So you would dress like everybody else, but you had a badge. Normally the sheriff's office, the sheriff is actually an elected official. The sheriff normally is the highest ranking law enforcement officer in the county. So in the county of that agency, that sheriff has the say over all law enforcement agencies. It really doesn't happen like that, but it's true. Even Thomas Jefferson looked at that well, and he put the office of the sheriff is the most important of all executive offices in the country, or county, sorry. The sheriff's office is certainly significant, and with the fact the first county office established in the United States. So each county, the first office ever established in each county in the United States was a sheriff's office, and they are the highest ranking. I mean, you got even Thomas Jefferson talking about it. The office of the sheriff is the most important of all executive offices of the county. Well, tell that to our county commissioners that take our funding away. But so for the longest time, sheriff's agencies, just normal clothes. Then they started going into wearing the tans and the greens and everything to look more paramilitary and everything like that. And a lot of it was because of us out in the county. You know, like I said, some agencies still wear polyester for out in the county. I don't understand. There's agencies that wear white. That floors me. There's no way in hell I have the time to keep a white uniform up as I'm out here. I mean, we get covered in human fecal matter. We get covered in cow shit, goat shit, bird shit, whatever. We get covered in stuff that you could imagine. Can you imagine having a white polyester uniform going through the woods? No, that just doesn't make any sense. And then a lot of your police agencies, they started out wearing blue. And what a lot of people think is that, oh, they just wear blue because it's back to blue and it's all this stuff. So back in the 1800s, when law enforcement was really getting going, it was during around the Civil War time. And at these times, these agencies, the United States had a crazy amount of blue Civil War uniforms. So they adapted a lot of these uniforms. They took these uniforms, they made them their own, and they kind of added stuff to them for law enforcement. I think it was like New York, Boston, Chicago. Those are some of the first ones that ever had police uniforms. And they did the whole polyester, and a lot of it was the blue, and that's just what it's been since then. And they've worn it because, again, that the United States had a crazy abundance of blue uniforms just due to the Civil War, and they said, hey, we'll take those, we'll make them work, and it stuck. A lot of them still wear blue to this day. Majority of agencies still wear blue. And then you have some agencies like Chicago and all them. I don't know if Chicago still does, but some of them still wear white. I don't get the white. But so that's kind of the difference. That's why a lot of people, they automatically assume that because they watch these shows, these movies and stuff, that the police wear blue polyester and everything. And a lot of the navy blue was so you could hide better at night while you're walking down the alleyways like you're Batman or some shit. I don't know. But they kept it. It stayed with them, and it's going to stay. It ain't going anywhere. Some of them wear light blue now. It just depends. That's a little breakdown of the history of the uniform. So that's why sheriff's deputies, we don't wear all the crazy stuff and the rape whistle. We have our own stuff that we wear just because you're out in the dirt and the dust and everything else. So I thought this would be kind of funny that we talked about the uniforms and stuff. I thought another thing that would be kind of fun to talk about was history would be, a lot of people know I used to be on the fire department. I love the fire department. Still miss all my brothers over there. My actual brother's still a fireman. And a lot of people wonder about the Dalmatian. Why was the Dalmatian? Why is it still to this day the firehouse dog? It goes back to a long time ago when the fire department carried everything on horse-drawn carriages. And Dalmatians at that time were actually very well trained and behaved on horse carriages. They were very well trained to be around horses, but they also had a temperament that wasn't the best temperaments. So like in your big cities like New York, if you look back in the history, there's a lot of like stray dogs, and a lot of just malnourishment. There's rats, there's all sorts of stuff. But these horses, they had to be protected. And these stray dogs would come and nip at the horses as the horses are dragging the carriage to the fires and everything like that. So they found out Dalmatians are very good at protecting horses. They're very great with being on the carriage, being around horses, and they also have a temperament to attack other dogs. So like when you see Sparky, the little beautiful little Dalmatian, he's so pretty. They really were made firehouse dogs because of their shitty temperament. So these dogs would come out of alleyways and they'd nip at the horses and try to get the horses. Well, the horses had a job. They got to get to a fire. And back then, firehouses were gangs. There's a whole lot. The fire industry is another industry. Everyone wants to talk about law enforcement industry, how, oh, law enforcement just started out as this and this and slave traders and all this other stuff. But they don't want to look at the firehouse actually started out as a gang, a bunch of gangs. It's kind of a crazy deal. But so these Dalmatians would fight off the stray dogs coming to attack all of the horses on the horse-drawn carriages, which is kind of cool because you're always thinking, why is that? And that's really what it comes down to, is they had a shitty temperament and they would attack other dogs coming to attack the horse, which is kind of cool. If you, I mean, yeah, whatever. But there you go. The more you know. Now we know about uniforms for law enforcement and some Dalmatians. So a lot of people also ask me on the podcast or on the lives when I talk about the toaster story. So I figured I'd break down the toaster story, and it is a true story. Of course, for jokes and stuff, we've upped it a little bit. It is what it is. So I got called out to a domestic in this little town that we stay busy in our county. It's always just you never know. It's either the town drunk or it's just going to be stupid stuff like this. So I show up, and it's a boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, I can't remember, but they're splitting up. She bought this mobile home, moved it on the property for them. It was a sweet gem, very nice. It was nasty. But either way, they have kids, but they're not together. They're not their kids. They're kids from previous relationships. So there's just a whole bunch of drama in this house. And they're both being extremely petty at this point. The boyfriend, husband, the dude, we'll just say the dude. The dude bought a shed and put a lot of his stuff in the shed and put a lock on the shed. She wanted to go in the shed to make sure none of his stuff was hers. It's a whole bunch of civil matter. Anybody in law enforcement, we know it's civil. You got to take care of this civilly. Nothing I can do for you. So they're bickering and moaning and stuff and just stupid stuff. And I was still somewhat newer to being on patrol by myself. And this day, our transport deputy, she wanted to ride with me. So she rode out there with me just to see what I do. So she rode out there with me. She didn't have any transports. And we go there, and everyone's used to fun-loving Dane. Well, this chick at this house had got me past fun-loving Dane because it got petty. Boy, the dude wanted to take the toaster. She didn't want him to have the toaster. And then they're bickering back and forth about this damn toaster. It's $19. I mean, what a nice toaster. It's the shittiest toaster you can get at Walmart. And they're arguing over it. We're already arguing over other stuff. And I'm trying to tell them, this is civil. This is nothing to handle. And then she starts screaming at me and yelling at me. And I can't get a word in. So finally, I said, shut the fuck up. And she looked at me. Even the dude looked at me. They're like, you can't say that. I go, I fucking just did. I go, right now it's time to act like adults. Shut the fuck up and listen to me. I'm tired of this. And she was like, you can't talk to me like this. I go, I can. And it's the only thing that I was able to do to get her to shut up was tell her to shut the fuck up. And it worked. She shut up. She listened at that point. Sometimes you have to get on their level. And that's what people don't understand is they see that we have to, they think that we have to, because we're paid by the public with tax money, that we have to be your doormat. And that's not what I'm there for. I'm not there for getting screamed at, getting yelled at, being called names. And then they expect us to be like the Queen's Guard and the damn in London or whatever, where we have to sit there with a fuzzy hat and not say anything. I will tell you to shut the fuck up. Sometimes that's the only thing that you can get to them, is you have to get them a shock and awe. You have to tell them something like that. And then they'll, oh, he means he's business now. It's serious. So even my partner, that the transport deputy, looked at me like, oh my God, I've never seen this side of Dane. And I was like, it's time to act like adults, and you're going to listen to me. So I told him pretty much I couldn't do anything about the toaster. I don't give a shit about the toaster. But she wanted to get in the shed. I told her, no, there's nothing I can do. And then she's like, what if I cut the lock? I go, there's nothing I can do. It's on your property. This is all civil. I can't deal with anything. I go, but I tell you right now, if I keep coming back for this bullshit, I'm turning y'all into DHS. Which is Child Protective Services, CPS, wherever you're at. I go, at this time, I'm done. I'm tired of dealing with y'all. Y'all are acting like children in front of these kids, and I've had it. And then they're still trying to scream, and I go, I'm done. I'm leaving. Whatever you do at this point, if I come back, you're all going to jail for domestic violence. I'm done with it. I'm tired of it. And you're going to have to grow up, or that's it. So I leave, and the next day, the dude calls me. And the woman was supposed to move the mobile home off the land because it's his land originally, and she's going to move the mobile home. So she told me she's going to move it. I don't know. It's all something. So then the dude calls me, and he is like, she's over here right now breaking all the windows of the mobile home. I was like, okay. He's like, you need to come and do something. I go, was it your mobile home? He's like, no. I go, is it her mobile home? He's like, yes. I go, then what's it bother you? It's her mobile home. She's going to be moving it. Why are you so fucking upset about it? Oh, I didn't think about that. I'm like, yeah, dude, just get your stuff and go. Be done. She's going to move the mobile home, and you're good. And needless to say, I got called out there several times. I had to go look at these broken windows. I'm like, I don't care. That's her. She can break her own stuff. There's nothing I can do about it. You're just gonna have to deal with it. I don't know. But that same town, I get a lot of stuff. A lot of thieves. A lot of just meth. A lot of meth. Another call I had in that same little town. It wasn't even my call. I get stuck on these calls, and now I'm made investigator. I really get stuck on these calls that I really don't have anything to do with. So the deputy goes out there to a farm that got broken into. Firearms were stolen. Other things were stolen and all this stuff. So that deputy does his report like he should. He's doing everything like he should. Well, then the guy gets some information, so he calls. Well, that deputy's not there. So I take the information, I look into it, and I'm trying to help the guy out. And this dude's going to do anything to get his guns back, and I don't blame him. I don't. He got word where these guns were. And I said, okay, well, let me do the investigating. I know where they are at, and I know that this dude will flip. But I go, you have to let me do this my way and let me do it the right way, or they can tell me to kick rocks. This farmer didn't like it. He's like, no. And then come to find out, it wasn't even his guns. He was like the worker at this farm. And I was like, bro, this isn't even your firearms. So like, you need to chill. Like, I'll get them back, but you have to let me do this the right way. I know this dude. And to be honest, he's a bitch and he'll flip on his friends. You just have to let me do this. Well, he didn't like that. He goes, well, I know those guns are over there at his house right now. I go, well, how do you know? Well, from someone I can't tell you who, but he's a turd too. But he didn't say that. He goes, well, I know somebody that doesn't like law enforcement because he's on the other side of law enforcement, and he breaks the law a lot too, and he steals a lot, but at the same time, he gets stuff and he's giving me information. I go, cool. Will that guy write me a statement? He's like, oh, no, he didn't deal with cops. I was like, well, I can't really do anything with that. That's called hearsay. He's like, well, it's not hearsay because I'm telling you. I go, no, that's exactly what hearsay is, dude. So then he goes, well, I want you to go over there right now to the house and see. I go, listen, dude, I'm not going to that house. He goes, you need to go over to that house right now. I was like, okay. I go, here, let me explain something to you. If I go over there and he tells me to kick rocks, I have to. I have no legal way to get into that house. Do I think the firearms are there? Yes. Let me do this my way and I'll get them. No, you need to go right now. I was like, all right, dude. But if this backfires, it's on you. He's like, it won't backfire. Go over there. So I go over there. I get the dude to halfway flip. Well, the buddy that stole the guns with him walks up. Well, he's not going to narc on his buddy that's right there. So he's like, I'm done talking. You guys can leave now. Well, at this point, I have no legal reason to be there. Now, he did give us, let us in the house. So we looked around the house. We can't search the house. I can't look under things. I can't move things. I can walk through the house. And we did. We walked through the house. We didn't see anything out of place. So we leave. And then couple hours later, he calls me, cussing me up and down. He goes, you went in the house. Yes, sir, I did. Well, did you see anything? I go, no, sir, I didn't. He goes, how? The guns were underneath the bed. My friend told me the guns were underneath the bed and you guys were in there. How did you not see that? I go, sir, I told you I can't legally do anything. And if he tells me to kick rocks, I got to kick rocks. I told you to let me do it my way. He goes, well, those guns are gone now. I go, I told you. I told you if I go do this, that those guns would be gone because he knows the heat's on them. And what happened? Exactly what I told you. Well, you could have waited. I go, sir, I cover 835 square miles by myself. I cannot sit here and wait for him to leave when I had another call pending. He's like, well, that's just unacceptable. So then this guy's mad. He hates the sheriff's office. We never did anything for him. And this is what happens a lot. You get a lot of hate from people. If you look in your local area, I guarantee that if you go on one of these Facebook pages, there's somebody bashing the police department or sheriff's agency because they won't do their job. We have hoops we have to jump through. We have your amendments that we have to think. So everyone thinks that if you tell me there's a gun in the house, I can kick the door in and just go get it. That's not what there's processes. And I have to do the stuff legally or then I'd be violating someone's rights. And then that's when there's civil cases and I lose my farm and I get sued personally. I'm not losing my house for a $300 gun. Okay. You buy high points. You don't even buy nice guns. I'm not going to go in there, violate this guy's rights and then get my shit thrown out the window. So this is what happens a lot of times like this. I'm telling him, let me do the job the right way, and I will get your guns back. Well, he got his guns back, but he had to pay that other piece of shit money that piece of shit went and bought the guns on the black market, got the guns back, and then he wants to talk shit to me. That guy calls me, he's like, just so you know, I got my guns back. I had to pay $600, but I got them back. I go, cool, dude. He's like, and I need you to do something. I go, I can't. I told you. He's like, but my guy got them. And he told me who he got them from. I said, cool. Will he write me a statement? No, I already told you. He doesn't talk to cops. All right. So we're at square one. There's nothing I could do. He's like, well, I'm telling you right now. I go, well, that's not good. I go, because that's, again, hearsay. And he wouldn't listen to me. So then a couple months later, I'm out there on another burglary where ends up being a manhunt in the woods, and we're searching for these people, and one of the guys is catching fires in the woods as he's doing it to kind of get our attention, brought off of him over here. Needless to say, we got all three of them, but I'm sitting there dealing with this party, and again, it's a small town, so I'm dealing with the victims of this place, and I'm talking to them, and I've already got one in handcuffs, and I'm kind of dealing with them, and this guy comes up, talking, oh, this fat guy. Oh, this guy can't do his job. I wouldn't deal with that. Don't even blah, 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 and starts bashing me to these dudes. And I lost it. I go, listen here, dude, shut the fuck up. I go, I've had enough of you. I go, your shit, you got stolen. You got it stolen and you got it back your way. And if you would have let me do it my way, I would have put people in prison and I would have got your shit back the right way. I go, I'm tired of you bashing my name into everything. And if you keep doing it, I'm going to make your life a living hell. Because I know ways to sit here and piss you off all I want. And he didn't like that. He's like, you can't do that. I go, watch me. I will pull over every single one of your hands as soon as they're speeding. Because they speed all the time. I'll pull every single one of them over and I'll write them a citation all day. Well, you can't do it. I was like, I can. I go, I'm tired of you bashing my name when you wouldn't listen to me. And that's the stuff you deal with. Everybody knows better. I'm not going to actually do that. I don't have time to do that. But I'm going to say it because at this point I've had enough. But we don't have that kind of time. I don't have that manpower. And I'm not that petty. I don't care. But he did piss me off that day. And I was like, dude, shut up. Stop talking to me. I'm tired of you. You ruined your own investigation. There's nothing I can do for you. But yeah. So needless to say, that little town I do not like going to. The towns, yeah, I just don't. I can't stand it. For a long time when I got out of the academy, I pretty much lived there because I could never leave there. It got to the point where they just, like, my agency, my undersheriff was like, haha, you need to take up permanent residence there because you never get out of there. I'm like, I know. I'm well aware. I'm stuck there all the time, and I don't like that town because most of them are turds. Most of them are. There are good people in that town. I feel bad for those people, but majority of them, they're turds, and it sucks, but it is what it is. Well, guys, we've got to about 40 minutes almost. Episode 13. So by 13 episodes, hopefully I'm figuring it out a little bit more. I'm realizing I need to break it up. I do this in one recording. I sit here, I do it in one recording. I don't add any sounds. I'm going to start breaking this up and actually editing it instead of just talking for an hour or 40 minutes or whatever. So I'm going to start doing that and break it down a little bit more where I can make it fun and exciting and throw different things in there. I just thought this would be kind of fun, throwing some history of law enforcement, a little bit of the fire department too, but 13 episodes, lucky number 13. But yeah, we've made it to this and I appreciate all you guys so much. Thank you so much for the continued support. If you have anything you want me to talk about, let me know. Reach out to me. I've got the TikTok Deputy Dane Morning Show podcast page. I've got my regular Deputy Dane page. Send me a message. Tell me, hey, I'd really be interested in this. Check us out on the Patreon. The Patreon, I'm still trying to grow that. To be 100% honest with everybody, Tiki Talkie takes 50% of everything. So I tell people, go check out the Patreon because you get a little bit more content, a little bit more one-on-one with me instead of me, you being in the masses of everybody. So all my Patreon people, thank you so much. We got Pebbles Mommy. I appreciate you. Connor, I appreciate you. Lady Buckeye, I appreciate you. Trauma Diva, thank you so much. And Kylie, thank you guys. I appreciate everybody and everyone that send us items off the wish list. Man, I appreciate everybody. Even if you don't send things, the fact that you listen to my stuff and help me out and really laughing is really what gets me through. So I appreciate you guys so much. And I say it all the time, but I really can't do this without all y'all. So thank you guys so much. Have a great week and everybody stay safe.